The boss of one of China's most powerful tech companies steps down because he says he lacks the required managerial skills. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The co-founder of TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, has become the latest senior manager of a Chinese tech firm to step back from the limelight. In a memo to staff today, Zhang Yimin said rather than managing a team of people, he prefers more solitary activities like reading and daydreaming. Over the next 6 months, he'll transition into a new role focusing on long-term strategy, company culture, and social responsibility. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani, though, explains Mr. Zhang's reasons might not tell the full story.
It is hard not to draw some conclusion that the timing of his departure from ByteDance comes against the backdrop of this crackdown in China on tech firms, not just within the regulatory framework, the way that we've seen with Alibaba, for instance, when it comes to accusations of being a monopoly in the marketplace, but also in terms of how China has been attempting to rein in the personalities behind these companies. With Jack Ma, for instance, of Alibaba, there was a period where people didn't know where he was because the speculation was he had said some things that had offended the Chinese government. Now, very much like Mr. Ma, Zhang Yimin of ByteDance is that personality that young people in China really look up to. The suspicion certainly is that perhaps he's decided it's time for him to step down and step out of the limelight.
So Karishma, why are these Chinese companies and their leaders now coming under so much scrutiny like this in China?
I think it's because of the power that they have. They control a massive amount of data. Companies like Alibaba and Tencent, for instance, also have huge sway over the way people there spend money. The Chinese government is concerned that if something goes wrong with one of these companies, hundreds of millions of people in China could risk financial loss. And they don't want to see that. They don't want to see social stability disturbed. But there's another reason, and that's about the powerful ideology that these companies have or the hold that they have over Chinese people. They're not just in people's pockets, they're also in their heads. And I think that's at the heart of why the Chinese Communist Party, which has to be number one, it doesn't want an alternative viewpoint or competing ideas to take its place.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani for us. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets have been little changed this morning. Cryptocurrencies have stolen the spotlight so far. Bitcoin shed a third of its value this week, and today it's given back early gains of 10%. Two events have been blamed for the volatility. Tesla CEO Elon Musk's announcement customers will not be able to buy his cars using Bitcoin, and Chinese regulators tightening restrictions on cryptocurrency use. Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon, says he believes volatility comes with the territory.
What we had during the pandemic is exceptional stimulus, also a new breed of investors, younger investors with time on their hands. As those taps start to be switched off, people go back to the office, people fill up their time with more normalized activities. Will that surge in retail demand? Will that start to dry up? I think that's one of the coalition of fears that really stalked the market yesterday. But as with any investment, it depends what your entry point was. If you recently got into cryptocurrency, yesterday was a really painful day. If you've been in for a few years, then it's still up many 100% across much of the crypto space.
That's Simon French from Panmure Gordon there. The UN Security Council has called for more global assistance to expand African nations' access to COVID-19 vaccines. It says so far just 2% of those administered worldwide have gone to the continent. But even when vaccines make it to countries that need them, some governments are finding it difficult to get people to clinics to receive their doses. Yesterday in Malawi, where uptake has been slow, more than 19,000 doses were destroyed because they expired before they could be used. The BBC's Rhoda Odhiambo explains why tackling misinformation has been the biggest challenge there.
People not going to clinics to get vaccinated because of the misinformation that's circulating around COVID-19 vaccines. And also when news spread that they had COVID-19 vaccines that were past their shelf lives, people were now starting to question, if they go to facilities, will they be given vaccines that have expired or vaccines that can still be used before the expiry date? So they're hoping that the distraction will change people's perception and many people will be going to get vaccinated.
One person you spoke to for your online piece yesterday said he wondered whether people in other countries were being given the same kinds of vaccines that they're being offered. And I think he was referring to the AstraZeneca doses. So what is the government doing to try to combat some of these real fears that people have around vaccine safety?
A lot could have been done to combat the messages that were coming out. The issue now became, how do you come up with proper messaging so that people are able to understand that the situation where we are right now, because these are first generation vaccines, you're better off having it than not having it. Because in the African context, experts have cited that the continent does have a good history of rolling out mass immunization campaigns. And this is because the campaigns have been targeting children. But with COVID-19, we are looking at adults. So how do you convince adults, some of whom are the ones who are spreading the misinformation, are hesitant to getting vaccinated, on the importance of getting this vaccine that can save their lives?
When we're thinking about why people do or don't get vaccinated, is it more to do with messaging and trust in vaccines, or is there also infrastructure challenges for people?
There's the aspect of production, where we're relying on countries outside the continent to bring vaccines to Africa. Yet there are countries in Africa that have the capacity to produce vaccines. The challenge is the vaccines that are currently being used right now, for instance, the Pfizer and the Moderna, the vaccines were made from new technologies as compared to the AstraZeneca vaccine. So what the researchers in these institutions within the continent would need is the know-how of how to make these vaccines, the technology, and how to ensure that the vaccines are well produced and everyone is able to use it. And how can the continent work as a block and not as countries to be able to ensure that there's equal distribution of vaccines?
Rhoda Odhiambo in Lilongwe for us. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Victoria.
And speaking of vaccine programs, the World Health Organization has this hour said it doesn't believe it's safe to restart international travel just yet. The agency's European chief said the situation is still fragile and there are still uncertainties like new variants of the virus. His comments come after a number of countries have taken their first steps toward resuming cross-border travel in an effort to restart the hard-hit tourism industry. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.